Ken Cal on the radio side last night as the Wings rally in the third, lose in overtime 5-4 to the Blackhawks at the LCA last night. Quite a game, quite a comeback. And obviously we talked to Mike Tirico yesterday from NBC Sports. He called the game on the NBC Sports Network last night. And
did a nice job. He remembered to turn on his microphone.
Well, he doesn't have to. He has people to do that. Yeah. Gov, can you remember to turn on Stoney's microphone for him, please? Come on. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. He can't even see the button this morning. I thought he was great. But I remember thinking as the Wings went down 4-1, I'm like, it's too bad that Tirico got a clunker. You know what I mean? Like, this the kind of game where people might turn away. And then, of course, they rallied, and he had quite a thrilling third period.
A perfect storm. Wings rally, and Zion goes down.
Yeah.
So people might have switched over. Gov mentioned it before. It's two times in the last three games where the Wings have had great comebacks, only to lose in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is, yes, they got a point in both games. And, yes, that's not good. I love the comeback, but I just wish they would have been comebacks and then they've lost the games in regulation. That's all I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. And I understand what Gov's saying, too,
right?
Because last night you had two, basically, not even two. I mean, you think about Mantha. I mean, the contributions made by
assists.
Their players as well. It's not just the goal scorers, Athanasiou and Larkin. But, you know, going up against a red-hot team in the Chicago Blackhawks, you know, and they got down 4-1. And, you know, we talked to Larkin on the show the other day, and I don't think he said this specifically, but I kind of got the sense, and Blashill said the same thing to us, that, you know, last year's team loses that game 4-1,
right?
Or maybe 5-1, or maybe 5-2 with a garbage goal at the end. These guys don't quit. They rally. And there is something to be said about that. And the thing about the point watching, even though like I said, Stoney, I think you've broken me.
Yeah.
Is that we will never know, once all the smoke clears.
Correct.
And all the balls have either risen or fallen, whether these points matter at all. Like, if the Red Wings end up with the fourth pick or the third pick or whatever, there's no way to point to this. Go, if they had lost that game in regulation, the Blackhawks, they would have gotten, you know, Hughes. You don't know that, because we're not going to be in that process. There's no way to.
Well, if you have the.
Right.
If that point matters between being third and fourth, and then the team that's third in the lottery wins the lottery,
yes,
you can say that the Red Wings would have won the lottery.
Yeah, but even so, I mean, yeah, I guess you could,
right.
But
I'm not. I just thought last night was a reason why at least the team should not be purposely losing. And I think that they've retained their culture.
And I
think that is so important.
I agree.
That's why I was for keeping Ken Holland. That's why I'm for Blashill being a part of this right now. And maybe even, I think that's an interesting conversation to be the coach next year.
Well, I'll be curious to see if they bring in John Cooper from Tampa Bay.
Right.
Well, I mean,
I would be for that. I mean, look, I don't know what people want. To me, it was just encouraging that they continue to show fight, that they're growing. Statistically, you've got Larkin at 26 goals. Athanasiou, I think, is 22.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are big numbers. I mean, they're trending towards 30 goals.
You know what people want, though? Stoney said it himself, and I agree with it completely. They wanted Kane's goal to come with 30 seconds remaining in
regulation.
Right,
that's all.
Yeah, I would prefer that too versus overtime.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah, that's all we're saying.
We're not saying that these guys shouldn't try. I thought it was great. The comeback in Philly on the road against a team that was really hot as well as Chicago, go from 5-1 and tie that game in regulation, that was awesome too.
But you want to see growth in the young players, and there's no doubt that Dylan Larkin has grown. That shift last night when he scored that second goal in the game to make it 4-2.
Because he got a physical.
Yeah, with Taze. He got chippy with him. He stayed on the ice long and got a goal that completely flipped the game. I mean, to me, that's what I want to see. You see nothing like that from the Detroit Pistons, okay?
Yeah, except for Blake.
Right.
Except for Blake. And occasionally Reggie and occasionally Andre, but except from Blake. You know, I totally agree.
Right.
Much like I just said about the lottery, there's no way to say how this would have gone had they made Larkin the captain at the start of the season. But the way Larkin's season has gone, that is looking more and more like a stroke of genius to not give the captain to everybody, to essentially not say it, but say to Dylan Larkin, you're going to be the captain, but we're not going to give it to you.
Prove it.
And he's gone out and proven it night in, night in. I mean, what, 2 weeks ago, it's like, oh, Larkin's hurt. He's probably going to be out for, what?
Two weeks. Just one game.
He missed zero games, didn't he? Oh, no, he missed the Ottawa game.
Yeah.
No, I'd be shut him down. Why play him?
Yeah.
You know? No.
And he's back on the ice the following Thursday because they had a decent break between games,
right,
and he played. I mean, He's done everything to assume the mantle of leadership, and it's almost like they're going to give him the C after the final regular season game, as opposed to waiting until training camp of next year.
Well, here's my thing. I questioned whether Mantha, Athanasiou, and even Larkin were truly part of the future. That would these guys be flipped?
Mm-hmm.
How bad was the rebuild going to be? You look at the Tigers. Look at Castellanos. He's not going to be a part of this thing.
No.
Larkin's going to be a part of this.
Right.
Oh. And that's the encouragement that I'm getting. That's all I'm saying.
Right. And I asked him this question when we had him on because, I mean, he is becoming a I'm not saying he's got anywhere near the accomplishments of the guys from the previous era, but we all know young hockey players who grew up under the tutelage or under the, the aura of Yzerman and Fedorov and Lidstrom. And that's who they wanted to be. And you saw 19s littered across ice rinks all over Metro Detroit. Larkin's now that guy. For young, impressionable fans, especially since Zetterberg retired, they love Larkin.
I've seen quite a few Larkin Michigan jerseys around.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And nice. I just think statistically, a 30-goal season on this team with the back-end talent, mm-hmm. so the other teams can prepare for you to play the wings first or second line, and that's it.
Right.
And they're still producing. That's encouraging.
Right, and we'll get to see Zadina up for about 9 games at the end of the year. He's going to play. Rasmussen, we've seen play. He looks like I don't know if he's going to be a star, but he's definitely can play in this league. And that they rave about Valeno, what he's doing down there. So it's going to take a little time. But you're right. They have 3 legitimate NHL goal scorers on that team.
I think that what this season has done for me, and as it goes on, I believe without a doubt the Red Wings are the first team that is going to get back to being a legitimate team in this town. I didn't think that before the season.
Well, I don't know that I'm there yet. I mean, in terms of, I think it's going to be really fascinating to see what the Lions do in the next year or so with Quinn and Patricia.
I agree.
The Pistons and the Tigers are obviously years away. But what this year did for me is kind of, I'm piggybacking what you just said. It solidified Larkin as a stud. Like, Larkin had the kind of the out of nowhere rookie year where he really surprised and the points he put up. And maybe you can attribute that to a freshness. And also he was playing with Zetterberg, who was, healthier at the time. He had kind of a lackluster second year. Third year, he came back with a strong year, which was last year. And then this year, like you said, he really, I kind of want to look it up in the game log for Dylan Larkin. Maybe I'll do that during a break. I feel like, I don't know. I mean, what's the longest he's gone without a point? Like, I feel like it's maybe 2 games. I know that's probably not accurate, but I feel like every night the Red Wings play, Larkin has a goal. Larkin has 2 assists. Larkin does this. I feel like he's in every night where you can count on him.
When you talk about down the road, the only negative is now I think Hronek I think has a chance to be really good, but their defense and who's the goalie of the future? I mean
Well, those are long term things, Tony. But you have to have a base, and I think they have a base. I didn't know if they had a base at first. Like I question whether the Tigers have a base right now.
We don't know. Their base is in minors.
Candelario, for example. What kind of player is he going to turn into? Is he going to grow? I mean, Larkin's still 22. They showed that chart last night with the ages, all these guys. I'm just encouraged. I give Ken Holland a ton of credit, and he gets completely torn apart in this town, and justifiably so on some things. But, again, it goes back to the stupid edict where I believe they were told to make the playoffs until they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think he's done a good job since.
It's funny. So just at a quick glance, the longest Larkin's ever gone without a point this season is 2 games. He's had 2 game scoreless or pointless streaks, like maybe 4 times all year. And then, in the month of November, he had at least 1 point in every game except for 1. And just every night he's contributing.
I think it was last week. Remember when I brought up what I would hope he could become?
Yeah.
Like his ceiling, and I used the name Doug Gilmour.
Right.
I thought when I said that, I shouldn't have said it. I don't think that anymore. I think that could be his ceiling.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll ever be like the superstar.
Right. He's not Austin Matthews. He's not any of those guys.
But I think he can be just right below that.
He has played in 60 games this year, and he has points in, if my math is correct, 43 of those 60 games.
That's pretty damn good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I'd like to see how many other guys are doing that.
Other thing is you see the maturation of Athanasiou. He's still as frustrating as hell to them. He really is. He still takes shifts off every once in a while defensively, but he is getting better. That goal he scored last night, that was crazy.
I didn't think there was a chance he was a part of the long-term future.
Me neither.
I do now because I think there's a place for a guy like
him. Unless they can really make a good trade for him. Other than that,
I wouldn't trade him right now unless I got a first-round pick.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Nick in Northville. A little early morning Red Wing talk here on 97.1 The Ticket. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. I love how you guys are talking about the Red Wings. My comment is the offense, little by little, has convinced me that we don't need Hughes. But I do want Hughes. No, listen, I want Hughes.
Okay,
and I want to trade him for the best defenseman you can get on the market. And I want to draft, or you can draft. So you could either draft the best defenseman, which means you don't need the number one pick, or you get rid of Rasmussen or Bertuzzi and bring another defenseman in. Because between Zadina coming up, Anastasiou, Larkin, Mantha, I think you have enough offense. This team is lacking on defense, being able to control the puck, get the puck out of the zone, contribute offensively. I mean, the Kaiser's overtime situation there, that was all the Kaiser. You had Anastasiou and Larkin playing defense. And the Kaiser's coming back, and he just drifts to the corner and leaves the two guys wide open in overtime for the game-winning goal.
Well, a three-on-three situation, I'm not going to really rip a defenseman for it, but you're absolutely right. That's the major weakness of this team. And look, depending on what you could get, it's not far-fetched, but Hughes...
So let's say the Wings win the lottery, Nick, and they call the Kings and say, we'll trade you the number one pick for Drew Doughty. What do the Kings say?
I wouldn't go for Doughty because Doughty's old already.
He's 29.
It's a young man's game. You got to go find the best defenseman that's in the NHL right now that's probably 26 or younger, and I would go for that guy.
Okay. I love Drew Doughty. I don't know.
Yeah, so do I.
I mean, I know he's 29.
I do, too. I love him, too. I just wouldn't invest into him because he's older. I mean, you're only going to get him for 2 years, and we're not winning it.
All right, well, the Kings are going to have a high draft pick well. So if you trade Hughes or the number one pick for their pick and Doughty.
I say you draft the best defenseman on the market. Doesn't matter what place you finish, you get the best defenseman, but then you go and trade. You got to trade Rasmussen or Bertuzzi, one of those guys.
The problem is, these are only mock drafts. The best defensemen out there are guys who are
Greedy Williams.
Are like the guys who are going to get picked like sixth or seventh in the draft.
Yeah, if you get the number one overall pick, and you don't take Jack Hughes for the best defenseman instead. Then I think they should probably
right. The
fire
best
Hollis.
Defenseman everybody says is this guy playing for Vancouver Giants at the WHL, Bowen Byram.
Okay? Bowen Byram.
Yeah, they say he's the best defenseman of a lot of these mocks I'm looking at right now. Now, if Kaapo Kakko was a defenseman, because there are a lot of people that think he's just as good as Hughes.
He's not a defenseman, though.
No, but he's not a defenseman. So
if he were a defenseman, if Hughes were a goalie. I would definitely take him.
By the way, the best goalie in the draft is also somebody playing in Plymouth at the U.S. National Development Team. Spencer Knight, I believe, is his name. Yes,
mm-hmm.
That's correct.
In theory, I hear what Nick is saying.
Yes.
You can't do that.
No.
You just can't. You can never have too many goal scorers. You fix that problem later.
Right.
You trade one of these guys once you get better and Hughes proves themselves, then you're like, okay, well, maybe you get rid of – Mantha or something like that to get the defenseman. You make that bold move down the road, but you don't do that now. You can't.
Or Zadina.
I mean, that could doing something like that would be so risky that it could ultimately set you back.
That'd be like the Lakers winning the lottery, which they probably will, by the way, knowing the way the NBA works. The Lakers win the lottery and passing on Zion. We don't need Zion. We have LeBron. We don't need Zion. Are you
maybe
crazy?
Not.
Well,
that
why
big?
Take Carmelo when you have Tayshaun?
They won a championship, Stoney.
I know.
But yeah. what about the you did bring up the Lakers when they selected James Worthy, when they got the fortune of getting that pick. What if the Lakers said, oh, we got Irvin, we got Kareem, let's get a defensive type player or something like right. that, you know? No, you take James Worthy and you figure it out. You become Showtime.
Or what about when the Philadelphia 76ers had the number one overall pick, Stoney, ended up trading that and Moses Malone, right? Isn't that essentially what they did? There was like
separate trades, yeah. So the same day. Yeah, they traded Brad Daugherty.
They traded what turned into
for
Brad
Roy
Daugherty.
Hinson, and then they traded Moses Malone.
Wasn't Tim McCormick involved in that trade?
No,
somehow?
They traded Moses Malone.
I thought he was.
He might have been, but I just remember it was Moses Malone to the Bullets for Jeff Ruland, the other Cliff Robinson, not Uncle Cliffy. And if that wasn't enough, Philly threw in another number one.
Yeah.
Philly threw in a number one draft.
Yeah.
That was great. Great move.
Or when I was a kid, one of my personal favorites was the Golden State Warriors traded Robert Parrish and the pick that turned into Kevin McHale in exchange for Joe Barry Carroll.
Well, that has to do with the Pistons, too, because they traded McAdoo and on that whole deal.
I just remember as a young Warrior fan saying, oh, okay, we lost Parrish and we lost what turned into McHale and we got Joe Barely Cares. Yeah. It was fantastic.
How about Tampa in football? They drafted Steve Young and Bo Jackson.
Young actually played for them, though, didn't he?
I think, yes. Yeah.
I think he actually
played for them that one year from the USFL to before he got.
Yeah, didn't the Niners trade like a third-round pick for him or something like that?